Stand by for The Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, The Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-7541. 854-7541 or call toll free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning. It's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
We are the Dollar Doctors. We are live Saturday morning, 10:05, April 29th, 2017. Call us at 803-1520. That's area code 716-803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541, 1-800-879-7541. If you're listening tonight on the rebroadcast from 12 to 1, we're not here. If you're listening to the archive shows or live and streaming on the website, sapriston.com, we are here. If you're listening to the streaming, and that is sapriston.com. where we have free economic research done by Stone and McCarthy posted every Saturday morning, including where interest rates have been for munis, mortgages, U.S. government bonds, and where the markets have been a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, and where oil and gold have been. Very enlightening. Give us a ring now, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Peter, am I correct in thinking that the markets went up last week?
You're right.
Aha.
Hard to argue with.
Hard to argue with. It didn't feel that way, but apparently it has.
Well, it doesn't feel that way. Everybody I run into is waiting for the big correction, you know, so.
That's good news.
It's like waiting for Godot, I guess, you know.
Yep. And as we say, you should just figure out how much stock you want to own and why and stick to your discipline. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Peter and Willard. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Sound like you have a cold.
Well, I had one, but I think it's gone now.
Aha.
Somebody stole it. I don't know who.
That's okay. It's probably
they're welcome to it, right?
They can have it. I had to get on before the penny pitcher gets on.
The penny pitcher?
Tell me. Who's ever made money with penny stock?
I don't know. I'll tell you. Tough game, and unfortunately, there's so much baloney out there, and so many people pumping stocks that
there was a penny stock newsletter. I forget the name of it years ago, and I think the guy's died. And he would actually look at the fundamentals and would only buy it, you know, with certain fundamentals. Bowser is name one. B-O-W-S-E-R. Bowser.
An appropriate name for dogs, right? Yeah. The Bowser Report.
And he had a pretty good track record.
Really?
And I don't know where he found these things, but he would do a stock a month, and he would give you the full financials and tell you what they did and why their sales were growing and why their earnings were growing, you know, like a regular stock report. And then he had his portfolio of stocks and how they'd been doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only guy I ever saw that could make money. And he always said, you can't buy one, you got to buy 5 or 10 of them.
Right.
Because only 2 or 3 are really going to work.
Yeah, but to be totally fair, if I remember, they weren't really penny stocks, right?
You know, well,
they were $2, $3, you know.
He had a couple cheapies.
Every once in a while, but it wasn't a real penny stock, you know, like 10 cents a share, 50 cents a share, you know.
Okay.
That type of thing. Yeah.
Anyway, maybe you can find him on the internet still, or find whoever bought the letter.
I don't think Tom's interested in that.
Okay. No.
No.
I like my Medtronic MDT.
Yeah.
That's a lot better, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think about MDT?
We're looking, and it's had its ups and downs, but it looks decent.
I've had it for years.
Price objective 113 on it. Peter?
Yeah, I mean, it still looks okay.
And I've been through about 5 stock splits with that stock.
Amazing, yeah. And you've been through a lot of big ups and downs, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think this stock, you know, many years ago, I forgot, weren't they really out of favor for a while there and had a big downturn?
Yeah, they were.
Yep.
Well, it was at $26. In 09, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tripled, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a good company.
Yeah. And the other one is Stryker.
Another good
S-T-K-R?
One.
S-T-K-R?
No, S-Y-K, I think.
S-Y-K?
Yeah.
They've had their ups and downs. That is a spectacular chart. Closed at 138, price objective 164. Peter didn't get new glasses yet, I can tell.
Then they didn't help, but anyway.
Oh.
It's got good support, 120 to 122.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it looks solid. I assume it's another one you've been holding for quite a while.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I only buy what I need.
Well, you did very well with those two, that's for sure.
I don't read none of it. None
really?
Of the guys that make their living making stories about something that never happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Stick with some good, solid companies in areas that are, you know,
up and coming, and we all need new hips, and we all probably need pacemakers.
Pacemakers, and, you know, I mean, that's the way it is, the story of life, unfortunately. So somebody's making money.
I have a good friend getting 2 knees on Wednesday, and he told me he's going to get a next to the hips, he told me.
Oh, boy.
And I said, you're going to be the bionic man soon.
Bionic man.
Yeah?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, what else can I give you?
I don't know. What else you got?
The there's a IHI, which is the medical devices ETF, and has a whole bunch of those stocks in them.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Igloo, Harry Igloo, IHI. So you might look at that and see what's in there, you know.
What's that symbol again?
IHI.
IHI, okay.
Igloo, Harry Igloo, IHI.
Yeah, give you a little bit of diversification, yeah.
But that's, you know, it's a great area, and all the baby boomers are going to need stuff.
Yes, you're right.
I'm trying to avoid it, but my wife's already had her new hip, so.
Yeah.
What the heck? And she's younger than I am.
The lawyers try to knock it down. You ever see the commercials on TV?
All the time. Well, we're two weeks a month in Sarasota, where there's an older population, and all we see are lawsuits for all of these different devices.
Yes.
You know, join the class action suit, blah, 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 won't cost you a dime. So that's the way life is. But what are you going to do if you didn't have that stuff? You have no chance to have any kind of a life.
That's right.
You got to take a chance in life, right?
Be crawling on the floor.
Yeah, that's terrific. Like my dog.
Yeah, right. I never bought dog food. I don't know how I missed that one.
It's a huge growing business, PetSmart and all that stuff. Just huge. And the different stuff they have for the dogs, you wouldn't believe the things they sell. I mean, and basically it's for baby boomers again, because when the kids leave, then they get dogs.
That's right.
Or cats or whatever. You know, it's a big business.
Big business, and it's amazing how expensive this stuff is, too. Even rawhides that used to be cheap.
Yeah.
I've gotten very expensive. So anyway,
it's the way it is.
And last but not least, I bought Corning about 2 years ago.
Well, very good. You had to be very patient. Yeah, I applaud your patience.
We bought it from one of our clients, and it was right around 17, 18. I don't know what to do here. You know, closed at 28.77. Price of, it's past the price objective of 24. It certainly got support in the 21 to 23 area. And they're a great company.
Yes.
Now, having said all that, I don't know where it goes to. So I put a stop loss because we get, you know, got a 10-point profit on that. And I have to say, whether it was our idea or not, there's something about SEC regulations.
What?
I don't know.
You bought it for a client?
Bought it for a client.
Well, there you go. You made a recommendation to a client. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, anytime something breaks out of a multi-year trading, it's probably going to go a lot higher.
It broke a seven-year, high.
You know, seven years it was going, no place at all. And I don't know, what was the low on that, you know, when it got all the way down to?
The teens?
Well, 10.5. In July of 13.
Yeah, so you know, if you just took that trading range, which is about 12 to, 14 points?
Yeah.
And add that to the top of the trading range, you're talking at least the mid-30s anyway.
Okay, gentlemen.
So you got to hold those stocks you have, and they seem great. Good companies.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
You too.
For the penny pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go.
Maybe you woke him up.
Clear the way.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. You are listening to Willard Sapperson, Peter Greco Live, Saturday, April 29th at 10:15. Call us, the Dollar Doctors. 716-803-1520, or 1-800-879-7541. The show is brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA, etc.
And the phone lines are wide open. It'd be nice, you know, if like five people all called at once, and we'd get to see whether the lines all rolled over or not, you know.
Well, they haven't
But we can't tell. You know?
Right.
We can't tell how many people are calling. But if everybody would call right now, anybody thinking of calling, everybody call at this 1 minute.
803-1520.
And we get a test of seeing whether these lines do roll over. Because it used to be like you'd have five lines, you know, on the board at one time, you know, and not now.
You call 803-1520 and it would jump to another line if someone was on that one.
Yeah.
And now we don't know anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's very hard to say. But anyway, you know, do give us a call. As Willard mentioned, you know, the market was up nicely last week. So
nicely.
I don't know why it didn't look like it was up. I mean, the Dow was up almost 2% for the week.
Yeah.
And NASDAQ hit 6,000. I'm surprised they didn't break out the party hats on CNBC, you know. You know, many people, including myself, thought it would be many, many years, if ever, and probably not in my lifetime, that the NASDAQ would get back to 5,000, which it broke down from, you know, in the 2001, 2002 bear market. And when you had the big collapse, you know, in the NASDAQ at that time, and now it's hit 6,000. And I think I was looking quickly at an article in Barron's where they're talking about, you know, is this a bubble again, you know? And the conclusion of the one person, for what it's worth, you know, everybody's got their opinion. Nobody's ever right all the time. But he was explaining why things are, you know, not exactly the same as they were back then. And it wouldn't be surprising to see the NASDAQ go up to 7,000, you know, from the 6,000 area. So,
well, you got pretty good support at 5,900.
Yep.
According to the point and figure.
And, you know, so and actually, as we know, you know, technology has been, you know, the leader. And, you know, every week we talk about the sectors. And once again, you know, technology leaped back into the first place for the year. You know, and the technology sector is up, I think, over 11%, you know, so far this year. And semiconductors, which actually are in technology, are actually the third best sector. The second best sector is home builders, you know. And the fourth best sector is consumer discretionary.
Aha. So everyone's going out buying a fancy car.
No, it's not the cars. You know, you have to look at the stocks that are in consumer discretionary, and you'll see why. You know, and I think in the consumer discretionary, you have some technology, believe it or not. I think you probably have Apple in there. You know, for the iPhone. And if you looked at you know, the technology sector. So if you look at the sector spiders, you know, that actually are the ETFs, technology, yeah. It's XLK.
Yeah.
So if you do your homework and your research, look at the XLK, see what stocks are in there, and then use that as a list, you know, of stocks maybe on little pullbacks that you can buy, you know, that type of thing. The semiconductors, SMH is the symbol. Home builders is XBH. And if you look at consumer discretionary, XLY. And if you pull up the XLY, you'll see.
I don't know about XBH.
Well,
let's see. Nice try.
Well, whatever it is.
Okay. And consumer discretionary?
XHB. I got dyslexia today.
XHB,
it should be, is the home builders. Yeah,
I was just checking on that.
XHB.
Yeah.
But take a look at, you know, XL, what is it I say? XLY, is it?
Yes.
Take a look at XLY. See what the stocks are in that sector. I'm giving Willard some homework to do here.
There. If we got it right.
So we got XLY, right?
And
now
we'll
look at the stocks.
See what's in there. Chart looks good. And 87 stocks, Amazon, Comcast, Home Depot, Disney, McDonald's, Starbucks, Priceline, Time Warner, Nike.
There you go. It's an interesting mixture. You know, a lot of times you look at consumer discretionary and you say cars or something. Well,
that's what I said.
Yeah, I know. That's what you said. But you look at these. These are really...
I guess coffee's in there with Starbucks.
Yeah, Starbucks is in there, you know, and certainly that's consumer discretionary.
Cable TV with Comcast. And
if you can afford to go to Starbucks, you know, that type of thing. I don't know. I think
I have no comment because I know someone that's close to me that loves going there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've made my comments about Starbucks, but I guess I won't say it again.
They keep
going.
Selling coffee.
Those people pay those dumb prices. You know,
yeah,
it's just
they're
my
all
imagination.
Lined up. All lined up.
Unbelievable.
No more folders.
Right now, I think we have somebody on the line.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. Got a call from North Tonawanda.
No name up there. Yep. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tom again.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey.
Just to let you know that 803,
yeah.
1520 is working fine.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
That's what I want to tell you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Take care. Okay.
So,
look at the sectors. You know, I always say that, and people, they always want to try to pick a stock or listen to what somebody said on TV or whatever, you know, and that's okay. I mean, if you hear something on TV, make sure you do your own analysis of it before you jump out and buy it, but sectors are one of the most important things. You know, first, obviously, it matters whether the market's going up or down. But even within that, the sectors are the second most important thing. So if you look at the sectors first before you pick a stock, you know, picking a stock in a bad sector, you know, good luck. You know, every once in a while, you'll be lucky, you know, and do all right. But if you want to put the odds in your favor, you know, try to pick stocks that are in the strong sectors.
We call it a favored sector.
Yeah,
favored.
Yeah, exactly. So. You know, so every week we highlight, you know, what those sectors are, and they've been the top sectors for many weeks so far this year, and they've had little pullbacks and stocks in there, and you know, if you're waiting for the big correction in the market, you probably never buy anything, but if you're looking at the sectors and the stocks that are leading, and they have, you know, little pullbacks, you know, so many points, 3, 4, 5 points, whatever, depending on the price of the stock, that's when you should be looking, you know, to make your purchase on those little pullbacks.
You should have the players on the bench ready to get in the game.
Yep. And, you know, or you should, you know, just build a little list and always just follow those stocks, you know, and make your purchases from that list. You know, trying to follow, 50,000 stocks?
I don't know.
You know, it's just unbelievable, you know, and you can drive yourself nuts picking all these different stocks. Also, it's kind of interesting, you know, we had a little discussion, as we do when Jason comes on with the VIX.
And, yeah, the VIX has been mild.
Yeah, and anybody who bought the UVXY last week and they woke up on Monday and saw the VIX drop 30% in the day were hurt badly in the UVXY, and that's what can happen, you know, no question about that. And and there's an article on the VIX, you know, saying most of what's written about the VIX is utter nonsense, and be very careful about what you read about it. And they said you should have a healthy skepticism toward much of the commentary on the VIX. And they say there's a website that you should go to for interesting information on the VIX, and you'd have to Google it, but it's called the VIX and More blog. The VIX and More blog. And it gives you a lot of interesting, historical data and commentary, on the VIX, and tries to put you in the right perspective about what the VIX is really all about. You know what it really comes down to.
Well, it's run by the V. What'd you call it?
VIX.
Why?
Well, UVXY was the.
Is a bunch of futures contracts.
Well,
is it not?
They follow the futures.
It's difficult to.
No, that follows it, but the UVXY is not a future contract. The UVXY is a way to play the VIX. It's a ultra bullish ultra short is the UVXY. On the VIX.
I just showed up the title.
Yep, thank God.
Hey, someone's here.
Yep. So we're going to go next to Vic in Venice, Florida.
Good morning, Vic.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. How are you?
Good. 91 here today.
I'll be down there next weekend.
I'll be going home.
Okay.
you'll pass each other.
What do you guys think about selling in May and go away?
Well, it's interesting. That has worked historically over many, many years. It doesn't work all the time. Okay. So if you were going to follow that as a disciplined strategy year after year after year, that's fine. If all of a sudden you're going to pick a year and say, this year I'm selling in May,
sure,
so
it's different.
Go away, it might be different, okay? And I would, once again, stick with what is my portfolio, how are they performing? If they start breaking down, fine, But just to sell out doesn't make sense,
Yeah, I know. I agree. You were, Peter, earlier you were talking about the market and the potential, people are talking about when is the market going to turn?
Correct. And, yeah.
What kind of a target on the S&P would you think that you'd get a little bit worried that things are turning?
I always try to stick away from predictions, because they don't work most of the time, and in looking, at the S&P, I've seen, the next target would be up not that much higher, like 24, 27, And in looking at the S&P, I don't think I haven't, obviously at some point, if the S&P went to 30 times earnings or something like that, and you'd have to say, oh, my God, we're up there in nosebleed territory or something,
It seems that. There's politically, everything is hinging around all these actions that Trump is trying to take with the healthcare law and tax reform, and it seems to me at some point if it appears, especially with tax reform, that nothing's going to get done this year, I think that may jolt the market. What do you think about that?
Well, I had somebody say that to me last night, all right? And I said, that's already in the market, because they already said a week or two ago, nothing's going to be finished until the end of the year.
I mean, I'd rather look at it that normal correction is 10%. Okay, so that's 240 points from here down.
Right.
And that's normal. So are you willing to take a normal correction? They don't feel good, and you tend to think the world is falling in because the market goes down much faster than it goes up, and yet that's a normal thing, and that we'd still be in a positive trend, which we look at, and still be in a bull market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like since they've already put out that, you're not going to see the tax thing done until the end of the year at best, right, then the market didn't even react to that. But if it looks like they can't ever get it done, it's just not going to make it whatsoever, then that's a different story, And if it looks like all of a sudden there's nothing that can be done in Congress, the Republicans can't get their act together, the perception is now, that the Congress is totally shot because now the Republicans can't even work with each other, then we got a problem,
Yeah, it does seem that way. It's a, you know, when you appease one faction like the, you know, the conservative group in Congress, and then you get the moderates are saying that, well, they're not going to support the health care law. You know, like, what is it, the Freedom Caucus said that they'll support the health care law, and now they're saying that the moderates, you know, think that not enough people are going to be covered under the law.
Right, it yeah. Just, so, I had heard originally there was like 50 Republicans against it. Now they're still down to 25.
Right.
Which is what
right.
you're really saying there.
Right. And the next election could, you know, the Republicans are saying that they're going to pick up some Senate seats, but I think they have to be more worried about the House, because you know, in normal off-year elections, you know, the House and party in power loses 10 to 20 seats, and if they lose 20 seats, that's their majority.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the House is always the bigger problem, you know, because the House to me is always flaky. I mean, you get a lot of strange people in the House, all right? You know? So.
All right, I did call for to talk about a couple of stocks, but
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, let's do.
Let's do that.
Discussing politics,
right?
What do you think about the FANG stocks? I own three of them. They're all, you know, they're all, they've all had powerful years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially Facebook and Apple. I'm looking at their charts. When do you, you know, it looks like they're close to having long tail ups. And when do you have to look at it and determine that it could be a turn?
Well,
no, Apple looks to be a long tail up.
That's a long tail up, but, you know, point and figure charts by themselves should never be used by themselves, all right? So, you know, what you should look at is, for example, the 50-day moving average. You know, that's another tail, which the institutions use, all right? So where's the 50-day?
140.
On yeah, 140 on
closed
it.
Closed at 143.
Yeah.
And then they report earnings this week, so
yeah,
that'll be significant.
Which would be, and some people have to decide, you know, if they have big gains or they recently bought it and have a nice gain, do they want to hold it through earnings, you know, that type of thing. But,
yeah.
You know, in looking at the stock, you know, it's not that far above its 50-day moving average that it's considered way out of whack, right? And I don't know, where's
it? Yeah, it's had a real steady
200 is 120.
Yeah. So depending where you've owned Apple from, you know, if I was a long-term owner of this and had big, big, big gains, you know, I'd use the 200-day, about 120, you know.
Right. Okay.
And
all right.
What was the other one there? Facebook?
Facebook.
What is that?
FB, yeah.
FB.
FB, yeah. Cool.
So it's another, you know.
Looks like Apple.
Yeah. I mean they're going to have pullbacks.
Tail wise.
There's no question about that. 50, what's 50 the
50-day at 140.
All right.
And the stock's at 150.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you could use the 50-day, and where's the 200-day?
And that is 128.
128. So, once again, if you had big, big, big profits, I'd probably use 128, you know.
Okay. That's good. If I can quickly ask you about a couple others.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Raytheon, RTN?
Boy, I haven't heard anybody mention that one, but it's in the defense area, so I don't know why it hasn't been mentioned, but looks very nice. I mean, do you own it, or are you looking to buy it, or what?
Yeah, I own it.
My subjective 190 and a nice, steady stair-climbing chart.
Yeah, beautiful.
I was going to thinking about buying some more, actually.
Page 2%.
You said, Willard, you said 190 is the objective.
190, price objective. 50-day, 153. We're about where it closed, 155.
Yeah.
And that certainly would be a hold if we brought it into an account, you know.
Yeah, okay. And then lastly, Quest Diagnostics.
Is it DGX or...
DGX.
I'm going to know I'm really getting way too old for this if I can't remember symbols anymore.
Well, that's what's happened to me. Yeah,
It's
price objective 126, closed at 105.50 day at 98.99.
Yeah, I mean, once again, looks like an okay stock, you know.
How do you, you know, when how do you get the price objectives on the point figures now? Because they normally, they used to indicate them, but they don't.
Don't they have them on stock charts?
No, I'm looking at it, and it just it doesn't show it.
Well, there may be. I mean, I haven't looked at getting the price objectives on there, but there may be some kind of setting that you have to change.
Okay.
To get the price, I'd hunt around a little bit, you know, because I can't believe they would have taken the price objectives off it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mechanical, you know. I'm just looking at DGX, and I don't see it.
They don't have it up there, but like I say, I bet you there's a setting someplace that you have to set to get the price objective on there.
Okay, I'll have to play around with it, I guess. All right, well, appreciate all your help.
Take care.
All right,
thank you very much
for the call. Enjoy Florida till you come back.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
You're listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, not bad. You know, I originally called to, you know, I'm the liberal guy.
Oh, yeah, I hear you on the next show.
Yeah, I originally called to talk to you guys about coffee because you were talking about
Starbucks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm a big coffee guy.
Me too.
And if you want to have, but I'm so glad he brought up politics, so maybe I can make a couple of comments there too. But as far as coffee, you know, you can have great Starbucks type coffee. I'm a chef. So you can have great Starbucks type coffee in your own house. It's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't go with one of those Keurig machines. You're gonna buy packets of stale coffee. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
So what you want to do is, it's really old fashioned. You want to go to Kmart or Walmart and get yourself a nice French press. It's a carafe with a, you know, squeeze thing, and basically what you're going to do is make your coffee like you would make tea. You want to get whole beans and get a grinder also, which you can only get at one of those.
So it's fresh.
Grinder. So, yeah, every morning, grind yourself some fresh coffee beans and basically steep it like you would a cup of tea. And you can buy any type, like the organic coffees are really nice, the free trade coffees. So you can spend a lot if you want to, or if you want to go to Wegmans and just get some. They have some just their basic stuff like Colombian coffee. If you know, get a 2-pound bag for $15, and it'll last you for months.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, brew some, make your own coffee. Or like I live in the city on the west side. Here, I don't know if Gershow's and Sons. They have a whole wall of coffee, and it's all $9.99 a pound or whatever. You know, get some hazelnut or vanilla bean, and it's great.
We've been getting coffee. We've been getting Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which we like.
Yeah, you got Tim Hortons too, which is also great coffee, right?
But I mean, we don't go there to buy it. We buy the coffee and make it. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, now what is Starbucks? I've never been to a Starbucks. What do they charge for a cup of coffee? You're talking about how expensive it is.
I mean, I've
generally
heard
five to six bucks.
The beep you just heard is actually I'm timing my coffee because you want to let it steep for 4 minutes.
Ah, okay.
That's the thing. And when you're using a French press, too, you don't want to get a real fine grind. You want to keep it a little coarser.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to grind it.
I'm familiar with French press. They use them in the fine restaurants, you know.
Yeah, you want to grind it down to where it's a coarser grind, not like where it's a powder, because then you'll get a lot of sediment in your coffee. So keep it a little coarse.
Like a Turkish,
Yeah, but, you know, he was talking about the Tea Party, now they call themselves the Freedom Party.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No.
Okay, when they have to change their name like that because it becomes so unpopular, I just like to maybe educate people a little about what the Tea Party really was. I read a book. It was written by Dan Quayle's communications director. And it was called Poison Tea. And it was very enlightening to me. I think I got it from the library. And you know how the Tea Party was really formed, or where its roots were?
No, not really.
No, we know nothing about it.
Okay, there was a group called CSE. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope.
It was Citizens for a Sound Economy. And I think Ron Paul was actually one of its original co-founders.
Okay.
What they did was the people who were fighting to keep smoking like legal in the workplace and stuff, the tobacco lobby, when they started using the, it's like secondhand smoke wasn't bad for you, what they found was they started this thing called Get Big Government Off Your Back. And it was so popular, they found it. They hit a nerve with the American people, the tobacco industry, with why should you let the government say you can't smoke next to your coworker? And with the, it was really the start of the anti-regulation.
Yeah, now you can't have sugar pop. You know, I mean, it goes on and on.
Yeah, so they hit.
Not that I like smoking, I don't.
Trying to keep that's where it came from. Was big? Big oil was in it too, but big tobacco. They found out how much the public really resented or how much play they could get out of resenting the government. And so Citizens for a Sound Economy eventually splintered into FreedomWorks and another one that's real you would recognize. I can't quite think of what it is right now, but the real founders of the Tea Party, Americans for Progress maybe.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it splintered into, and which were the basic driving forces behind the Tea Party, and it was basically hate your government. And what reminds me of this is that's what's going on when you say, when the guy said the conservatives in Congress, or the Republican conservatives and the Republican moderates, if, to me it's really just different levels of how much you hate your own government, and I really think that. That by not doing anything, by being totally unaffected, not legislating anything, it really plays right into the hands of what they really want. They want you to hate the government and think it's ineffective and can't do anything. So, to me, it's bizarre. And also, you were talking about the House of Representatives. You know, Democrats won overall. Got 1 million more votes for the House of Representatives than Republicans did. It's pretty common every year, but somehow because of gerrymandering.
It's also because you have the two big liberal states of California and New York. Get rid of them, it wouldn't be that way.
Well, that's just like saying nothing, so those people don't count.
Well, they
it's
don't.
Supposed to be, it's supposed to be the people's house.
I think California should fall off into the ocean.
Really, the biggest economy in the world.
Yeah, I know. Well,
that would help the United States.
The people in that state have no brains whatsoever.
The two biggest economies in the United States, New York and California, should just fall off into the sea.
Yeah, we could build a new nation.
Someone like you, who's a financier, right?
We'll build a new nation.
Like the New York City is the capital of finance.
Yeah, New York City's got a mayor who's a psychotic person. You know, so.
A psychotic person, a normal person who doesn't hate his own government and thinks he should help people, right?
No, he's a sick individual.
You think so?
Yep, very sick.
About him.
See, Peter's from New York.
That's
right.
Well, I don't think that means anything.
No, but I'm just saying you can't count the fact that all these people in California grow up and they be educated by dumb universities that teach you baloney, all right?
Think about what you just said, dumb universities.
Right, the universities in this country are dumb.
People barely make it through college and go start working.
Matter of fact, most people shouldn't go to college.
Or a factory.
Right. Most people shouldn't go to college.
Did they teach you how to be dumb at college?
We do need plumbers and electricians.
We need plumbers and electricians and people who can do things.
Where did you go to college and learn to be stupid?
Anyway.
Did you go to a university?
I think most universities, when I see the baloney that comes out, like University of Michigan, Harvard.
They couldn't transform you into a liberal at college?
I mean... It's terrible. It's terrible.
They tried to make you a liberal, but they couldn't.
Never can.
I think
the best thing I had a client come in. She said, you know what I am? I'm a compassionate conservative. And that's what people should be, all right?
Remember,
not liberals.
You remember what Abraham Lincoln said? Hate your own government. It's not worth fighting for.
Anyway, all right, John.
Anyway, we got other people in
the
line.
But, we're going to break.
It was fun.
Thanks, John. Call again. Thanks.
Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
We're back. Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, live Saturday, April 29th, 2017 at 1040. Give us a ring at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. If you'd like free economic research, go to our website, Saperston, SAPERSTON.com. Also, we are live and streaming, which I listen to when I'm in Florida, and we're archived. You want to listen to the old shows. Saperston Asset Management is involved with FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, and we are an RIA, which means we're registered investment advisors, and we can manage accounts and manage accounts away, 403Bs, 401Ks, variable annuities that are not at the firm, and happy to give you a second opinion. Good morning, Dan. Good morning. Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Good, good. I had to call to move the conversation along.
Thank God.
Well, it didn't have much.
Well, you know, it's fun to disagree, really.
Oh, okay, my goodness. You know? You're too kind.
We are a stock show, you know, so yeah, I know you always have some show. Stocks to talk about.
No, the wrong show. We're talking about business here.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. One of your earlier callers was calling about the looking for the on the point and figure chart, the price objective.
Right.
Yeah, and on stock charts.
Pardon?
On stock charts.
On stock charts. Yeah, yeah. And I had the same problem. I couldn't figure it out, right? And then after you mentioned start looking around there.
Right.
There is a selection for price objective.
Uh-huh. See, I knew that had to be there.
And it's set at none.
Okay. So
I see it.
Yeah. It's way down the bottom there,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But now there's two choices, Peter. So which one do you take, breakout or reversal?
Well, see, there's two different ways of calculating it, so it doesn't matter. You could try both of them, okay? You know. In other words, I don't know which one is better.
Okay.
You know, but the breakout, the reversal is one way, and you'd have to do it. They explain how they calculate it,
okay?
But there's two different approaches, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you have to do it because if a stock doesn't give a sell signal and then a buy signal, on one method, you will not get a price objective, okay?
Okay.
Now, on the other method, even though if the stocks keep moving up, it'll give you a price objective, okay?
Oh, I see.
So one method only gives you the objective if you had a sell signal first and then a new buy signal, okay?
So, like, would you have a preference personally?
Not really.
He looks at them both.
Because, in other words, there may only be one of them active at any time, all right?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I'll try the breakout one, see how that one works.
Yeah.
So now just the one question, like, when you guys are looking at the point and figure chart, I mean, is there how do you determine when you actually would actually enter into a stock? I mean, are you looking for the three X's to form at that point?
There are several patterns, maybe 5 to 7 different patterns.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And you have to study them and get comfortable with.
Okay.
You may have a favorite one.
Uh-huh.
Or it may be a breakout.
Let's take a look at one, Willard. STZ, Constellation Brands.
SPZ, huh?
No,
SPZ, Z, SPZ.
Yep. I think it's ST as in Tom, Peter.
Oh, ST, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have it on an account.
Oh, okay.
Sam Thomas Zebra.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got the Z, I didn't get the T.
I wonder what he was talking about, but he knows more than me, so, you know.
Let's go.
So here it is.
So there you go, right? So where was the buy point? You know, back at one whatever.
Probably 160.
Oh, okay.
On this one, but yeah. There's no special pattern here. Yeah, other than a quadruple
breakout. That was a quadruple top breakout, yeah.
Okay, that at that point there.
Yeah, sure.
Followed by a double.
Yeah.
Which would have been a 158.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, 160.
160 is where the X broke above the lines at the 158.
So you don't buy it. Yeah. You don't buy it on the 4Xs. You wait till the X goes higher than
the 4X. Yeah, the X broke above all the 4Xs, yeah.
Okay. All right. So this one looks pretty good then, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially since it made a new all-time high, I believe.
Price objective 192, 50-day at 163.
Man, you look at this company. This is like, I mean, this is one of your...
I think this is Corona Beer, isn't it?
I think they own a bunch of things, Willard.
Yeah, but that's one of them.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at this thing, this is probably the kind of stock, if you're going to buy one stock, this would be it, because... It never really gets crushed, and it always seems to, I mean, it's always going higher. Because, I don't know, I've been looking at this thing for years and years, and I've never really gotten into it because it's always so expensive, and it never really seems to give you an opportunity to get into it.
Well, I mean, it gave you that nice pullback from 170 to 144, you know. Yeah.
But you know what? Like, I know you guys were talking about earlier about... like some of the technology and, you know, some of the stocks that maybe had big runs in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, looking at a few different things that I've been looking, like different companies in that, it looks to me like there's starting to be a subtle rotation into some of these more stable companies. You know, like...
Well, my feeling was that people don't... They're not the hot ones right now, and so this is a good time to look at those. Because when they're hot, they're hard to buy when they keep going.
Exactly, exactly. So I think maybe people, smart people, are starting to rotate into some of these things.
You also can sleep at night. You don't think it's going to open up down 30 points.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely.
You hope.
Absolutely. Okay, guys. I'll let you get on to other people.
Yeah, and thanks for telling us about the stock choice.
Thanks, Dan. That was very helpful.
Because I knew there was a setting.
I was trying to figure out how to do it, and then when you said that, right. I thought, well, let me look at see if I can figure this out.
I haven't looked at it, but I think that, you know, maybe both of those will not be in play at the same time. You know, so if you don't see one on one, you'll see it on the other.
I'll try playing around with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Okay, take care.
Thanks. Give us a ring. The Dollar Doctors. We're live 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541 Saturday, April 29th. Good morning, Richard.
From San Francisco.
Hey, this is really Richard from Rochester.
I thought it was somebody from San Francisco telling me they're in the process of falling off into the ocean, you know.
No, but how are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay.
Good. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
I bought a couple thousand shares of Ford a month ago.
Hmm.
It did nothing but go down since I bought it. I bought it only because the dividend.
I wonder why it was going down. It's your fault.
Well, that's what happens when I buy things. You know that.
I do.
Yeah. And then I got rid of it. I said I couldn't even stick around the next dividend date. I couldn't stand it.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but you know, you're not supposed to get emotional with stocks.
I know. I got to be dispassionate, you tell me.
Yeah.
You know, I got really emotional. I got out of it. But does the chart look like... The
chart looks like if it holds above 11.5, you're okay. My committee, ex-Peter right now, that when I said I want to buy Ford, said it's in a downtrend. Don't you dare.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, you know.
The sector, I think, is out of favor, too, right now.
Well, maybe take a look at Ferrari. Stock's phenomenal.
What is it, RARE?
Race, R-A-C-E. Take a look at FCAU, Ford, Chrysler, all right?
Chrysler's been terrific, but no dividend, you see. Yeah, Ferrari's gone from 55 to 75.
Right.
And just had a breakout. And what is FCAU?
FCAU is Chrysler.
Chrysler Fiat,
yeah.
I bought it for one client, and I was thinking about buying more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, really?
Yeah.
Looks pretty interesting. You could put a buy on stop at $12 on that guy if it hit it, and you closed at 11:37, that would be a breakout.
Right. There's been a lot of very favorable stuff.
Price objective 22. I just bought a Jeep. I'm very happy with it. So, except for the electronics, which are a little beyond my, my intelligence level.
I know what you're saying. Can I run another one by you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oracle, ORCL.
Well, I haven't heard that one mentioned in a long time.
Well, I was watching the Talking Heads on TV yesterday, and they were saying they thought doing a call option out a couple months might be good. Because they think it's going to have a little pop.
If it went to 47, it would be a breakout.
47's
breakout?
Yeah,
at 44.45, where it closed, it just can't get above 46 on its, if you look at the chart.
Looks like resistance.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's the kind of thing I would put a buy and stop on. It's 47. If it happens, then it cleared all those sellers,
Right, right.
I like buy and stops. And if it doesn't happen, you didn't spend any money.
Good point, yeah. How about AT&T? Does that look interesting here at all? The yield is...
Well, we have it on accounts, but so we're not selling, but it doesn't look terrific. It can't seem to get past 43, right?
You're not selling, okay.
Not selling, but it can't seem to, get past that 43 area. And that goes back to 2007 when you look.
Mm-hmm.
There's a war going on with the wireless and all that and the phones.
Right.
T-Mobile has decided that everyone should have free data, and if you look at that stock, it's been terrific. No dividend again. TMUS, TMUS, and so he's getting these other guys to have to give away data, which is where they made their money, on the phones and stuff.
But if you want to look at a positive, maybe apparently telephone companies are very heavily taxed, right? And if there's a corporate tax rate down to 15%, they will be major beneficiaries.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Good for you.
One other one. Can I
please?
Also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we've mentioned this before in the last month or so. AAOI, Apple, Oscar Indigo.
Yeah.
It's a tough one to play because it's one of those, like you said, Willard, you go to bed and you don't know what you're going to see when you wake up.
I see that. Yeah, it went down from 60 to 41, and it's back to 49 area.
The problem was, see where this stock came? I think it came up from single digits.
Yeah, it had a beautiful big base breakout in the 24 area, and last year it was at 9.
$9 a share, all right.
What do they do?
Why didn't you call it on that? Call us then. When it was $9.
Yeah, you would say that to me for 30 years.
Yeah, I know.
Opto Electronics. What the heck is it?
Fiber optics.
Yeah. And matter of fact, I think there's an article this week in Barron's about fiber optics, and they say it's not done, but they've mentioned a lot of the fiber optic stocks are correcting.
I thought it was last week.
I saw it this week. They mentioned a number of them, and so I would look. When's earnings coming up on this company?
Usually, I don't know, guys. I don't know the answer.
Usually, it tells us.
Tell us if it's nearby.
No, okay. So
but it's not. It's not.
Yeah, as long as the earnings aren't nearby. But I'd keep an eye on it. I'd keep it on your list. But don't forget a stock that went from 9 to whatever, 60-something.
60. Yeah.
60, right? I mean, it's got to digest it,
Oh, I know. One of two fish. My wife and I really have just kind of been playing it short term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to grab a couple $100 here and there.
It's a favorite of the traders,
it is.
Oh, yeah. So,
These aren't good sleep at night stocks,
Well, they're not unless you catch
it at a good point.
I like
the food stocks, sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, I hope everything's doing well with you guys.
Thank you. It was good to hear from you.
Appreciate the call.
Hope you're in good health.
Thank you. I am, and stay healthy. Good luck to you and your families.
Thanks, Richard.
Take care. Okay.
Here we are.
I think we're near the end.
End of the show.
Right. 10:56?
Yeah.
About 2 minutes left. Yeah, so we got about 2 minutes left.
And Well, as we always say, get your players on the bench, watch your stocks, and be ready to get in if they have a little correction and you still like them. Have your discipline. Don't break the discipline. We are available on Twitter, and we are available on Facebook. And I Twitter 5 a week on Sunday nights. I get ready for that.
You're a real big Twitter.
Could be philosophy. It could be the market and moving averages, but usually it's worth looking at. And we are live from 10 to 11 every Saturday, rebroadcast from 12 to 1, midnight Saturday night, and live and streaming on the website, sapperston.com, as well as the shows are archived, free economic research on the website. So as we always say, good night and good luck, and keep a little powder dry.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Sapperston and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Sapperston Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.